Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ahí va a llegar el gol del Arsenal. Ozil marca. Mesut Ozil. Bellerín, qué golazo.
Magnífico.
Gol. Qué golazo de Bellerín. Gol del Arsenal. Gran gol de Bellerín, 1-0.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello there and welcome to another Arscast Extra, as always, with James from Gunnar Blog. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
How's everything hanging? How's the arm? Still limp and freaky?
Do you know what? It's not even in any kind of splint today. It's free and loose. It doesn't work, if I'm honest with you.
Right.
You know, there are certain things that are still beyond me. Carrying a tray would be difficult, if you can imagine.
Well, as an actor, that must be particularly tough, as your secondary career as a waiter would be severely affected.
Well, also, ironically, all the big parts I really want to play primarily are waiters. So it's a bit of a disaster on all fronts, but it's on the mend. Anyway, how are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, nothing too strange or startling. Just plodding along, looking out the window. It's raining here today. That's not good. But apart from that, you know.
It's quiet on the Arsenal front, isn't it?
It really is. They're all gone to Singapore on a fantastic Arsenal plane. Did you see that? The plane is all covered with Arsenal players, and they painted on Aaron Ramsey on the side of the plane and stuff like that. Yeah, that was great. That was certainly worthy of the 42 news stories that we saw. Arsenal has Arsenal plane.
Exactly. Well, at least you know no one's going to get on the wrong flight, you would imagine. And then, what else have we seen? Petr Cech has, you know, arrived.
He has.
He's been given a little tour of the training ground.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a squad number.
Mm-hmm.
33. 33. Soon to be out of date, as you pointed out. It'll no longer be 33, and the whole thing will be absurd.
Yeah. But hey, 33, that's, it's a traditional goalkeeper's number.
Of course. One of great, great tradition.
Yeah. Some of the best goalkeepers ever have worn 33.
Yeah, I know. It's clearly been a big influence on him.
Mm.
But what's weird is that usually in the summer, there's kind of rumbling transfer speculation that sort of carries you along. But there isn't really any of that, is there?
No, there doesn't appear to be. The only thing that's happened, obviously, it looks like Manchester United are signing Morgan Schneiderlin along with Schweinsteiger. What do you make of that?
I don't know. They've got all the shuz, haven't they?
Yeah.
I think they're a pair of good signings, actually, I have to say. I think it's easy to be dismissive of Schweinsteiger because he's already 30. But I still think he's a top-class player, and it'll definitely improve them. And it takes a little bit of the pressure off Schneiderlin to kind of come in and be the main man straight away.
Yeah. Should we have spent whatever they're going to pay for Schneiderlin, £25-27 million, should we have spent that money on him, do you think?
I don't know, if I'm honest. I mean, I think...
But I'm asking you.
I see. You want
like,
me to see.
I want you to actually tell me, should we have or not? Like, what are you... I mean, would you have?
Well... It's not my money.
No, yeah, well, of course.
I probably would. I mean, the thing is, it's the Coquelin thing, isn't it? It's the whole thing. I think we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Arsene wants Coquelin to start, presumably, having, you know, put a five-year deal behind him. I think he's not going to do that lightly.
Mm.
It's just that question of, is there competition? Do you know what? I probably would have gone and bought someone like Schneiderlin, just because I think that, personally, Arteta and Flamini are... Neither of them necessarily can match physically what Coquelin can do. And I think Schneiderlin's a little bit closer in style. But Arsene clearly feels otherwise. Because I think if he wanted the player, he could have had him long before now.
Yeah, I mean, our interest in him goes back a long, long way. I remember years ago seeing a story about Arsenal being interested in a young French guy called Schneiderlin, and I remember thinking, that's not a particularly French name. That's why it stuck with me.
Indeed,
and
yeah.
That was just before he went to Southampton. I think we were at the point where people were going, no, not another young French player. What's going on here? And so that's probably what put him off, you know, because he listens directly to the fans and what they think of transfer business before he makes any decisions on who to sign or who to bring in.
Well, nowadays he just reads Twitter, obviously, but this was in the pre-Twitter days where he would sort of, you know, go undercover to pubs and stuff and listen to fans, what they were saying there. He'd wear a sort of big false moustache and glasses.
I am Mr. Snrub.
Exactly. Yeah. And that would directly inform his transfer policy.
Yeah.
In fact, the departure of David Dean hit him particularly hard because David Dean used to dress as like a lamp post or a post box and just hide on street corners to find out what the public thought Arsenal should do.
It was quite the canny move.
He was the master of disguise.
Mm.
What do you think about Schweinsteiger? Well, what do you think about the pair?
Mertesacker?
The two Schwers.
I think obviously United have issues in midfield and have had for a little while because Carrick is really important or was really important for them. But I think, what age is he now? 33, 34, something like that?
The Czech age, 33.
Yeah, so, you know, he's not getting any younger. And then, you know, these guys that were supposed to be the future of the Manchester United midfield, like Tom Cleverley, clearly weren't. They're sort of the future of other people's midfield because that's about all they deserve. He was in. He played during the FA Cup final, didn't he, Cleverley?
I think so.
I think the thing that I remember most from him on that day was a foul on Alexis, and that was about the biggest contribution he made. So it's obviously been something that they've got to sort out. They're throwing a lot of money around, aren't they? In fairness, after all the money they spent last summer as well. When you think about the amount of money they spent last summer and now this summer as well, there's a huge amount of money being spent. I was thinking of a different way to say that. I couldn't. But what do I think? Schweinsteiger, obviously a tremendous player and will be an asset for sure.
Yeah.
And Schneiderlin, maybe they're going to play the two of them together. Maybe that's the new centre of Manchester United's midfield.
Yeah, that's
wouldn't necessarily be the most mobile, would it?
No, maybe not. They're talking about a three, maybe with Ander Herrera in there as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot him.
Yeah, so I think they've got some decent options now. Fortunately, they still don't really have any strikers. So, you know, I'm taking some comfort from that. They've got Wayne Rooney, and then they've got James Wilson and Javier Hernandez. And Hernandez, I think, is being linked with a move away. So still work to be done on that front.
Yeah, you can't see them not signing a striker, actually. I would be very surprised if they didn't bring in a forward, particularly after Robin van Persie left for Fenerbahce.
Did you see
his lovely brown outfit?
I haven't seen his brown outfit, no.
Right, he's wearing a kind of, I don't know what it is, it's on the Fenerbahce Twitter account, and he's standing there with his family, and his children look distraught. You know, they look really unhappy. The kid, the boy, is just looking at the ground going, oh, I don't want to go anywhere. And then Van Persie standing there in a kind of a, it looks like a brown jumpsuit kind of a thing.
I'm looking at it now. It looks like he might be going on safari.
Yeah, safari, but also perhaps taking some helicopter lessons.
Right.
And look at him standing there with his thumbs up, pretending to be really happy. Like, I'm going to Fenerbahce. Woohoo! This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And then, can you see the one with the kid?
Yeah, they all look, he looks desperately unhappy all the time, his son.
Yeah, he's like, oh, God. Come on. First, you made me leave London, and now I've got to leave Manchester. I just made some friends, Dad. And they're going, no. And Robin's standing there going, it's all right, son, I'm going to make lots of money. I'm going to make loads of money. It'll be great.
Well, look, I mean, it's karma, isn't it? It's football and karma in action.
Yes.
So he's gone. Yeah, does he? He rotates. Well, he's gone, so they need to replace him. Falcao obviously went as well to Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
That was a weird one. Via Monaco. And, yeah, so they'll be looking for a centre-forward. I mean, we're sort of looking for a centre forward. I think everyone would quite like a centre forward.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. But who is the centre forward? What do you make of this tremendous story that broke yesterday about the man from Lyon? Yeah, Alexandre Lacazette.
I mean, so he favourited a story on Twitter. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, a website called MaxiFoot, okay, which conjures up some different images. For me, I have to say, not necessarily in relation to football, but they wrote a story saying that Arsene Wenger wants Lacazette and that a move could happen, and he favorited that story. So maybe that was his way, knowing now that Arsene Wenger is on Twitter, monitoring what people want Arsenal to do from a transfer point of view. Maybe that's his way of subtly communicating with Arsene Wenger without breaking any FIFA guidelines about tapping up or anything. Twitting up, can we call it that?
He's just sort of gently lifting up his skirt in Arsene's direction. I think, I mean, look, the problem is that everyone says Arsenal need an Aguero. But no one ever says who that is apart from Sergio Aguero.
But didn't we sort of get an Aguero in Alexis Sanchez?
I guess. But we're playing him on the flank. And I actually don't think that was necessarily Arsene Wenger's plan. You know, there was that period in the early part of the season where Alexis started as a central striker on several occasions. And I think had he flourished there, that's where he might have ended up, but
he didn't unflourish, though. He wasn't bad or anything.
But I think, there was a game at Everton where he was withdrawn at half-time. He had a really tough time in that match. But I think generally he was better playing off somebody, wasn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that maybe there's, you know, still room in that for someone in that central spot. Well, but, you know, we've been over this many times, but the counter-argument is you need a Giroud figure in order to bring the best out of your Alexises and your Ozils.
But do you, though? I mean, do you really? I mean, could you not have somebody else there who would also get the best out of your Ozils and your Alexises?
I hope so.
I mean, he can't be the only one that you can get the best out of those guys with. Surely just a really good player would also work. But who's that?
I don't know. Is it Lacazette? I mean, he's an interesting one in that, you know, he's young-ish. He's 24, I think. French. Quick. You know, Arsene Wenger likes that.
Ticks some of the boxes, all right, doesn't he?
He does tick a lot of boxes. Scored a lot of goals last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was something like 27, something like that in Liga, which is not even a very high-scoring division traditionally. So, I don't know. I mean, are we approaching the point where something like that is almost worth the punt? Because, like, I'm not sure there's a £50 million striker out there to go and get.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think I think we spoke about this before, that I think the challenge, not just for Arsenal, but for pretty much all the big clubs at the moment, is trying to identify who is the guy who's 23, 24, who in the next 2 years is going to make the step up to be that £50 million or £60 million player, you know? Mm. It's not like there's a Suarez around this summer that everybody would take if they could get him, you know? People like Cavani, Benzema, you know, they're obviously top-drawer strikers, but not necessarily the cream of the crop, or maybe not worth the investment that you'd have to make in them in terms of what you get out of them, time and goals. So I think that's the challenge, that if this guy, Lacazette, is going to be the next guy to make the big step up, then it could be worth a punt. But of course, it's about how you view his potential. Lots of players have scored lots of goals in France and not quite made the grade. So it's a difficult one, but I believe he's somebody that we've scouted quite often, quite a lot. Grimaldi has been doing his thing, you know, sitting in the stand.
Mm-hmm. Reading the tweets.
Yeah, doing Sudoku and occasionally just looking up as he scores a goal. But, you know, we've got an eye on him, as I'm sure we have with many other players. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it will be an interesting one, but could it be one that would only happen, for example, if Theo Walcott didn't sign a new deal? What do you make of the Raheem Sterling thing, £49 million to Manchester City?
It's a lot of money, isn't it? It's a lot of money. I mean, I think they've, to an extent, City are over a barrel, aren't they? Because they desperately need homegrown players to meet the quota. They failed to snatch Fabian Delph away from Aston Villa. And I kind of feel like they kind of had to do this deal. But I'm 49 million.
Mm.
I mean, that's an awful lot. I think Sterling, I really rate Sterling. I think he's got massive potential, but I think I would have balked at that kind of fee.
Mm.
What do you think?
Well, I don't think it makes any difference to Manchester City because it's 49 million. They can spend that on anything they like. You know, they could just, you know, put in a garden at the back of the stadium worth £49 million and it wouldn't make any difference to their finances or their ability to do that kind of a deal. So I think they're always going to do it. They don't have to think about it too much or the consequences, particularly as the FFP rules seem to be just completely in the toilet at this point. Anyone can get away with anything. Mm-hmm. So why the hell not? You know, he's going to come in and he'll play, I don't know where, on the left or the right. He's going to be better than Nasri. He's going to be better than Milner. He's going to be better probably than Jesus Navas. So why the hell not? And it helps their quota. So, yeah, I mean, it seemed to be the only real destination for him once he'd made his mind up to leave Liverpool.
So do you think there's any chance that Liverpool might come knocking with some of that £49 million for Theo Walcott?
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, he grew up a Liverpool fan, I think.
Theo,
but you know, it really depends on what his ambition is as a footballer. Does he want to go play with Danny Ings and whoever else they've got?
Ricky Lambert.
And be maybe the main man at Liverpool? Or does he want to play with Mesut Ozil, Alexis Sanchez, you know, Aaron Ramsey, these guys who could be really challenging for stuff? So, I mean, it depends on Walcott, and I don't know what the situation is with with Walcott and Arsenal at this moment in time. You'd like to think that things are progressing and that a decision is going to be made one way or the other. But look, if it gets strung out and we head towards the end of August, who knows? But Liverpool have got money burning a hole in their pocket and they're going to want to buy somebody. I think they're going to be under huge pressure to buy somebody really good with that money. Like, not a situation where you sell Fernando Torres for £50 million and you go out and buy Andy Carroll for £35 million. I don't think that will be acceptable to Liverpool fans. You know, it's not about the amount of money that you spend, although that's clearly going to... that's clearly going to have an effect on who you get, but nobody would say that was good spending by Liverpool, even though they reinvested a lot of that money. So maybe there is pressure on them to go out and buy somebody really good with that money.
I mean, they tried last season with Alexis. The problem they encountered is that it's hard to get, you know, elite players to move to a club who don't play in the Champions League.
Absolutely, absolutely. But maybe, you know, if there's any kind of doubts on our part over Walcott, like over his future or over his role in the team, as I think were evident throughout last season, you know, he spent a lot of time on the bench when he could have been playing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously finished the season with a couple of great performances, and one in the FA Cup final obviously was fantastic. But if there are doubts, and if Liverpool are looking, and if, for example, we could target a Royce, somebody like that, with the money on top of what we already have, then it would be quite tempting, I think. No?
Well, maybe. I mean, the thing is that, you know, you talk about Walcott's ambition, but it may be that his ambition is as simple as wanting to play every week, and his doing that at Liverpool might be superior.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, maybe it's an interesting one. And, of course, probably by the time we finish this podcast, Arsenal will have announced that Walcott signed a new deal, making us both look like chumps completely.
I mean, the thing is, at the back end of last season, that was very much the way the noises were going, wasn't it? Publicly, Theo was saying, I'm sure it'll all get sorted out. I hope it gets resolved soon. And Arsenal was at least outwardly saying that he'd like Walcott to stay. I suppose the only issue is how quiet it's been since. Mm. And with Walcott, you always feel like these things will drag out. I would say that I'm not confident a new deal will be announced before the start of the season, certainly.
Right. Well, that will make things interesting because I really think a decision should be made before the end of the transfer window or some kind of deadline should be put on it now, because if he's not going to sign a new deal or if he's going to... if he's going to create another saga, I'm not sure he's worth a saga, you know? Mm-hmm. The ongoing headlines week in, week out, and maybe they'll get it sorted at the last minute or the 11th hour. You know, if you're doing that with a player of real world-class ability, then okay, you're having to deal with all those issues and all the options that a player like that has, but I'm not sure that's the case with Theo Walcott. So anyway, we'll see. This is just pure speculation on our behalf. But is Lacazette the best named player after an old audio format of all time?
I don't know. There's a guy playing for Marseille called Le Mini Disc. He's pretty good as well.
I like Alessandro Vinyl.
Yeah.
He's good. Plays for Napoli Reserves.
Holding midfielder.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And he can also play in goal.
Yeah, that's good. I like Arsene Wenger likes versatility.
Mm. He's big in the shower as well, I believe. 12 inches.
Very good.
Hey.
Very good.
Hey. What else is happening?
I don't know. We didn't really talk about Abu Dhabi leaving.
No, we didn't. That was last week, and we probably should have had a few words about that.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
What were your feelings about that?
I think it's just really sad, to be honest. Mm. You know, there was obviously a player of great potential there, and whether he would have ever become the player, his absences have, you know, I think sometimes when a player's out injured, his qualities are bigged up. You know, that he becomes a better player in his absence.
Exaggerated,
yeah, a little bit. And I think perhaps there was a touch of that with Diaby. But I think when you look at some of the videos and you look at some of the moments and some of the performances, he was clearly on a different level to the likes of Song, Danielson, Bentner, you know, that era of player that he's been associated with all that time. Mm. And I think it's just really sad that he hasn't been able to get fit, that when he has been fit, he's been struck down by injuries again, that his body seems to have been absolutely shattered by all the injuries, that the compensating for one injury has led to another, etc., etc. You know, as somebody who is 43 years of age and is gutted every time I have to miss a game of football on a Tuesday night, you know, playing Astro, I know there's a big difference, but when all you want to do is play football and you can't, it must be absolutely heartbreaking. And I don't buy into the whole, well, he got his wages and, you know, that he should be fine sitting around picking up his money. I don't buy into that at all. That just completely negates and takes away the human element from it. So I think it's a shame that Arsenal never got the chance to see what kind of a player he could really be over a sustained period. I think it's a terrible shame for him that his career has gone the way it has. It'd be a brave club, I think, that would give him anything other than a particularly small deal. We hear about pay-as-you-play deals, but they're so rare as to be almost non-existent. And, you know, I just share the manager's view that it's really sad to see what happened. I think we were left with no choice this summer but to let him go. I think he knew that, we knew that, and ultimately it's just a very sad tale.
It is a real shame because, you know, I think anyone who saw Diaby play in the early part of his career, there were glimpses of a really special player there. And to not see that come to fruition is gutting. I think it's gutting for Arsene Wenger as well, who for a long time really believed that it could be turned around and probably to the detriment of the team at a certain period. I think he always kept, you know, apart from the last few years of Diaby's Arsenal career, he kept a place for him in the squad, you know, in the hope that he would be able to contribute, and he couldn't.
Mm.
I suppose that his legacy in some respects may be that I saw an interview with Francis Coquelin talking about what an important mentor figure he was to him. So, you know, perhaps we have that to thank him for in some respects. He was a big influence on Coquelin, who's obviously now making a massive contribution himself. I just hope that Diaby, it might be fanciful, but wouldn't it be amazing to see him get a deal somewhere and actually put a run of games together at whatever level that was?
Yeah. I mean, I know there's great. Yeah, there's talk of MLS. Maybe he could go back to France. I don't know. It would be good. I'd really like to see him get a chance to play, and even if it's not at the top level that he would have wanted his career to be at, I think at this point he would just be content with some regular football and contributing to whatever team he plays for. Mm. So, a bit of a sad one, really. And look, that's just kind of the risk, unfortunately, isn't it, with footballers and with the game, that you can pick up an injury that can have a long-lasting effect. And, you know, a football club can give a guy, we could give Alexis a new deal tomorrow and he could suffer the same kind of injury. You know, that is just the bottom line. So you can't get too precious about whatever has been spent on Abu Diaby, I don't think so.
No, I would agree with that.
All right.
Is that part one?
No, the other final thing I wanted to talk about, I don't know if you've seen this, it's in the Sun this morning.
Oh, maybe not then.
Probably not. You haven't yet read your sore away son.
No, it's sat on the mat waiting for me.
Wojciech Szczęsny, apparently, in a bit of trouble. Not in a bit of trouble, but photographed doing some of that old nitrous oxide from a balloon thing.
Oh, Wojciech. Wojciech. Maybe he'll go to Manchester United. They need a goalkeeper. They're signing all the other shuz.
Yeah.
Schneidlin, Schweinsteiger, Szczęsny. That'd be the hat trick.
Wow.
It makes sense.
Yeah,
their real transfer strategy. That is a bit of a shame. But Arsene Wenger seems pretty relaxed about this kind of thing when it's not in the dressing room. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's quite all right with his players taking part in drug-fueled orgies as long as nobody takes any pictures.
And if it doesn't happen in the toilets in the dressing room,
yeah.
That's the major issue.
Well, particularly the orgies. He doesn't like those in the dressing room.
No, there's not room. It disturbs the feng shui.
There's a time and a place for that kind of carry-on, chaps, and this is not it.
Oh, I haven't seen this story, but
I saw a picture. And just as easily, he could be blowing up a balloon to celebrate his impending wedding.
It must be that. Is he turning it into a balloon animal? Or
yeah, maybe that's what it was. He was making a giraffe or a pony or a salamander or some kind of ox.
He's making an ox for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Mm, that's exactly what it must be.
I can only assume.
Yeah.
Stay out of trouble, Wojciech.
Maybe it could have been a helium balloon as well. Could easily have been, because it does that hilarious thing after you take some helium, your voice goes really, really high.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That would be funny.
Yeah, that is always a good party trick.
Mm.
Apparently that's dangerous, somebody told me recently.
The helium thing?
Yeah.
In what way?
I don't know. Someone was telling me that they were doing a show where they got an audience member to do it, and then health and safety said they couldn't because there is a minor risk attached to it.
The person sounding quite funny?
But maybe you get stuck like that.
Oh, wow, like if the wind changes.
I mean, people have been doing it for years, and as far as I know, there have been no adverse effects. But, you know, I'm just warning the people, beware helium. Apparently it's not as hilarious and friendly as it initially appears.
What? Maybe it was to do with the size of the balloon, like a normal size balloon, and then this guy was perhaps using a hot air balloon full of helium.
Maybe they were doing it in a shark tank. I don't know.
Wow. I think we need more information on this.
We'll come back to it next week. It'll be like a running thing.
Yeah. See what happened to the helium guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well. So. Well, Szczęsny's on the tour. He's out there. There was a picture taken with him and Petr Cech sitting beside each other. Both of them looking at the camera, going, it's a bit awkward, really.
I wonder if, like, Wojciech will sort of start calling Cech dad by mistake and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Get this weird relationship going.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Did you ever do that in school? Did you ever, like...
I did. Absolutely humiliating.
I did it on a football bus. I think I was 12,
right.
Something like that. And instead of like trying to get the attention of the manager or the coach, as he was, I went, ma'am. And you can imagine how unforgiving a bus full of 12-year-old boys was.
Oh, I mean, awful. I did it myself. I remember putting my hand up in the class and just being like, ma'am. And I'd just been like, oh, God, I have really let myself in for something here.
Yeah. I bet someone broke your arm.
Well, exactly. And it's been weak ever since and keeps just shattering at every possible opportunity.
There you go. That's what you get for social faux pas in your early teenage years.
That's justice, yeah.
You get what you deserve. All right. Okay, will we take a break and come back with part two?
We'll do exactly that.
All right. Welcome back to the Arscast Extra. This is part two, where you send us your questions on Twitter at GunnarBlog and at ArsBlog with the hashtag Arscast Extra. As always, thank you for all the questions. There are so many we can't get through them all, but we do our best. James, the honour this week is yours.
Oh, thanks very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, let's kick off with this. This is from Finn, who's at Finn1886. And he says, on the eve of our new away kit launch, even though we've already seen it, most of us, what are your best and worst away kits we've ever had?
Ever. Okay.
I mean, let's go last 20 years, because frankly, I won't remember beyond that.
Okay.
Although you can have like classic 70s, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like straight in there with yellow and blue. Like nothing else for me in terms of the away kit. Like I don't like variations. I don't like it when it's not yellow or when there's too much blue. So I think probably my favorite, and it ties in obviously with the success of that season, was the yellow and blue from the Invincible season. When Robert Pires, for example, scored that brilliant goal at Anfield.
Yellow,
the blue.
It was very yellow, I remember.
It was very yellow and very blue, and I like that. So that's where I'm a sucker. And I did like last season's one as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know.
That wasn't bad at all.
Yeah. You know, did we wear that in the cup final?
We did.
Yeah. So I liked that one. And the worst one, what's the one the worst?
I don't know if it was technically a away kit, may have been a third kit, but the white shirt I was not a fan of.
No, that wasn't good. Didn't like that. Didn't like anything that was blue, like fully blue. Remember that goal Thierry Henry scored against West Ham away, and he sort of picked a ball up off Vieira and like took a touch and controlled it on his knee and then went. It was like straight in top corner before anyone had even seen what happened.
I do remember that.
I fucking hated that kit.
Did you? That was one of the O2 kits, I seem to
recall. That was one of the O2 kits. Blue with stuff on the front of it and all that kind of
it looks
jazz.
All sort of pixelated, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and there was that blue kit that we wore. Remember when Robbie Fowler scored the 3-minute hat trick? Remember that one?
Mm.
That was not good. Didn't like that one.
Was that the sort of one with like lightning bolts down it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Didn't like that one. Go on, what's yours then?
I mean, I said last 20 years, but it is hard to look past the sort of 71 era, you know, plain, very plain yellow with the cannon and the blue collar. That's a great kit.
Yeah. Timeless. Classic.
Absolutely. Least favourites, definitely that white kit, which I think was a third kit, which was kind of a pinstriped affair.
Mm. It had all kind of writing on it, if I remember.
Yeah.
Weird.
There was another one around that era, which was kind of dark blue and a sort of red currant colour. Do you remember that? Whenever I think of it, Emmanuel Eboué is wearing it.
Oh, the stripy one.
Yeah.
And we wore that, I think, when we played Bolton. I think we were down to 10 men and then we won 3-2. Yeah.
We came back.
Yeah.
But despite that result, not a huge fan of that kit. I don't really know what that was supposed to be. I'm trying to think what else we've had. Generally, if they're yellow, like you, I'm sort of cool with it.
Yeah.
Mark Overmars scored at Old Trafford in a yellow shirt, did he not?
Yeah.
I quite like that, a blue band across it, I think.
Yeah.
98. Thierry Henry's favourite kit, he always says, favourite was away kit, was the gold kit.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's got great memories, of course, because of, you know, winning the league at Old Trafford, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, you know, not really for me.
Is that what we've got this year? Gold kit? Is that what it is? Is that
it's
what it
kind
is?
Of like a. It's kind of like somebody has got a grey shirt in Photoshop and then got a yellowy gold shirt on top of it and then turned down the opacity on the yellow so the grey comes up from it. It's like. Anyway, they're launching it, I think, in Singapore tomorrow night. I think that's what's going on.
Exciting times.
It really is. It's a shirt in which players will fit.
I mean, you're not going to believe this. They're going to play football in it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be available for purchase. Who knew?
Wow. You can buy it in shops and online anywhere.
I'm actually looking at last season's away kit, and I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's nice. I really like that. I really like that. All right. Well, yeah, there we go. There's the kits thing. Right, here's one, and this comes from Chris Garment. He is at Garmentic A. I don't know which particular garment he is, but he's one of them. Mm-hmm. He says, if you could mate two current Arsenal players to create a hybrid child that would improve the team, who would it be?
Ooh. I mean, I think I've talked about this before, trying to breed Theo Walcott with Olivier Giroud.
Yeah.
Trying to fuse their genetics like some sort of Jurassic World nightmare. Throw a frog and a chameleon in there too, just to sort of mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
But who else would be a good combo? I mean, what's the gap I'm going to try and plug here? I guess maybe instead of looking at centre forward, I'll think about this holding midfield situation, see if I can make another one of those.
Yeah, Cocteta.
Exactly. Someone who had the... Maybe I'll go... I'd want some of Cochlear. Just adding the rest of the syllables there quickly.
Yeah, because, yeah. you know, it's hard. After a weekend, it's hard to, you know.
It's hard to just change the pattern, do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? You know, you get into the habit of saying certain things. I think you'd want a bit of him, but you'd want maybe Coxola. Oh, that's what I'd want to make if I could.
A Coxola.
Yeah, it sounds like Coxzilla as well, which is a terrifying prospect.
Somebody's going to Photoshop that for us, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to put it on our timelines.
I don't think so. Not safe for work. but you know, someone who had the kind of aggression and physicality of Coquelin, but the quick feet and, you know, perceptive passing of Cazorla. What a midfielder that would be.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Some would say Jack Wilshere could be that midfielder one day.
I would.
No, me neither. But some would, and that's the important thing.
Right.
But I wonder how big a factor that might be in Arsene Wenger's thinking this summer.
What, that he's trying to breed Coquelin and Cazorla?
And Jack Wilshere together.
Right.
I mean, nature, you know, life finds a way, as they say in Jurassic Park. What would you do?
What would I do? I think, you know, if you were to look at maybe an actual Mertesielny, that Ooh. Could be a good player.
That would be a very good player.
You know, the reading of the game, the calmness, the assurance on the ball of Mertesacker, along with the quickness, the aggression, and the handy goal scoring when you need to get into Europe of Koscielny. That would be a good player.
Imagine an Azexis.
You're struggling.
Alexil.
An Alexil.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, that would be like a super... what would happen, though? Because, you know, there's this language style of Ozil against this dynamic style of Alexis. One would want to sort of, you know, be efficient in their running and do the, you know... And the other would be like trying to get... You'd have a player that actually split in two on the pitch.
I'm not suggesting conjoined twins. Don't get me wrong. I think that is a recipe for chaos.
Mm.
But if we could somehow combine their attributes, I mean, what a player that would be.
Yeah. What about a Belbushi? So you've got a bit more physicality at the right back position, strength, along with Bellerin's incredible pace. A Belbushi.
Belbushi's good. Belbushi's good. I think that would actually genuinely be... I mean, I really like Bellerin, but I think if you gave him a little bit of Debushi...
Not bad, eh?
Not bad at all. What else? I'm just trying to think.
I think we've probably done this one to death.
I mean, you could sort of breed Yaya Snogo and Joel Campbell just for the hell of it and see what happens.
Two players who go out on loan.
Yeah. You'd get this guy who was just forever out on loan with people going like, give him a chance. And just, it would never happen.
Yeah.
And then when he got the chance, he wouldn't be very good.
Yeah.
Bless him.
All right, let's have another question.
Let us have another question. I enjoyed that one, though. Let's suggest it. Let's write to the club.
Yeah.
Making that proposal.
Could you please set up a human cloning lab?
Exactly.
Yeah.
For God's sake. It's about bloody time.
What's, there would just be like jars of babies, you know, ones that went wrong.
Bits of Abu Dhabi in jars on shelves.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be all kinds of like weird concoctions in there. No, nobody needs to see a flam... flam royale. Nobody needs a flam royale.
Yeah, they're just keeping it in there for a rainy day. But this one...
Yeah.
Comes from Steve Moore at SteveMoore4116. Hi, Steve. Just going a bit DJ there. Just trying that out.
Hey,
Radio 1.
Hey.
So, yeah, exactly. Hey. He says, in hindsight, eh? Does the £25 million received for Robin Van Persie now look like a canny piece of transfer business by Arsene Wenger?
I don't care. I refuse to answer that question.
Okay.
Sorry, Steve Moore, but
sorry,
fuck
Steve
that
Moore.
Shit. Who gives a fuck? Seriously.
True. Fair.
All right. That means it's my question. All right. Okay. Oh, shit. I should have been ahead of the game here a little bit. Shit. Okay. All right. Here we go. This one comes from Tim Stillman.
Of course.
Tim Stillman wants
to know...
I'm sure
it'll be a sensible question, because I know how erudite Tim is.
Yes, he is. He's a fine writer, somebody who thinks logically and clearly about the game and is capable of expressing those thoughts in a very cogent manner. So he wants to know, would you rather have sex with a cow and have nobody ever find out?
Yes.
Or...
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Oh. Right, thanks, Tim. Don't have sex with a cow, but everyone in the world believes that you have. It's all over the newspapers, and there's absolutely no prospect of convincing anyone that you haven't had sex with a cow for the rest of your life.
I mean, what a conundrum.
Mm.
I mean, this could be Tim's next column, I suspect, in the making.
Yeah.
I would have to say that I'll stick with my first answer... And I don't know, actually.
You would have sex with a cow. That's where you're going with it. Look, it's fine. Embrace it. You won't be the first.
I won't be the first.
Or the last.
Or the last. I'll tell you what's stopping me going with that. So I'm going with that because I'm like, well, I'm quite, you know, my public reputation has taken a battering already.
Mm.
And I don't need this whole cow controversy creating more problems for me.
Right.
However... I'm also conscious that a cow cannot consent. So
you would be like essentially a cow Bill Cosby.
Yeah. And I'm not comfortable with that. If you can assure me that this cow is up for it, then that's the option I'm going with.
Well, not to be too crude about this, but you know when you see some of those veterinary programs and all that kind of stuff, and oh look, the calf is breached, and the vet's in there, and he's up to his shoulder, trying to get the poor little calf out.
Mm.
I'm not sure. I'm not making any disparaging remarks about your girth or length. I'm not sure the cow would be that aware of what would be happening if you were to go down that road. That's all I'm
saying.
Story
of my life. Story of my life, Andrew. Well, listen, that I think that is the road. I'm not sure about this. I mean, it's not an easy question, is it?
Because what happens now is you say you'd have sex with a cow and then everyone says he would have sex with a cow.
Well,
immediately
that's why
you become known.
I shouldn't have answered this on a podcast.
Yeah.
I don't even think a cow is a particularly sexy animal. That's another issue for me.
What is up there on the spectrum of sexy animals for you? Like a panther?
Yeah.
Sleek?
I think even
furry.
A horse is preferable. They're quite sort of, you know, athletic. A cow, I feel, is like, it hasn't even made an effort.
Yeah.
I think dolphins are quite sexy.
We're going to have a big problem here now.
I know you hate dolphins, but yeah. I just think, as animals go...
Do you think so? I don't think they're quite beaky, and they've got a long nose, and they've got these little weird itty-bitty teeth, and, you
That's
know...
That's exactly how I like my women.
Well,
so do apply here.
Yeah,
I am. Well, what are you doing? I feel like I've now just announced on the internet that I'm going to have sex with a cow, thus eradicating the whole point of the question.
Yeah,
by making it public.
I wouldn't have sex with a cow.
Right.
And I don't give a fuck if anyone thinks that I did, because I would know that I didn't. So who gives a shit what anyone else thinks?
So what we've learned is that I am more conscious and care more about what people think than you do.
Yeah.
This makes me feel like a terrible man. And I've raped a cow. Great. I've really
see what you've
well
done now,
this,
Stillman.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tim. Oh, God. Can we move on?
Yeah, we can. Let's move on.
Okay, I'm going to let this go out and to hell with the consequences. I'm going to prove to you that I don't care what people think, because I'm going to have people tweeting me all day about cow sex. okay, at Arsenal Hippie Gooner.
Right.
He says, as there is bugger all happening, can't argue with that, please make some wild future predictions for Arsenal in the year 2030.
In the year 2030?
Yeah, and what's good is, I'm sure we'll definitely still be doing this every week until then.
Absolutely.
So, we can come back to it then and be like, oh, we were right all along.
We were completely right. Okay, it's the year 2030.
So how far is that? That's 15 years away.
15 years from now.
So to put that in perspective, 15 years ago was what? Year 2000. That's an easy sum.
Your mind is fucking wrecked from fucking cows. That's the problem here. You can't even do simple arithmetic.
Genuinely, mad cow disease everywhere. So year 2000. So not that long ago.
In the year 2000, we didn't... Yeah, it wasn't a great year for us, really.
No, as I recall. Was that UEFA Cup final, yeah?
Oh, could have been, yeah.
Might have been. So, 15 years on.
15 years on. Arsene Wenger has just signed a new deal.
Yeah, there was a lot of speculation he might go, but the board are still backing him.
Yeah, he's 80-whatever, 82 or whatever he'd be. So, you know, he's still looking as fit and healthy as any 73-year-old.
Yeah.
His assistant manager, who would his assistant manager be?
I don't know. Has Borja Primorac finally got the promotion he's been angling for 30 years?
No, unfortunately he died.
Right, okay.
He died...
He was in an accident with a helium balloon.
Yeah, hippie crack, mayhem, poor old Boro. Took Steve Bould with him.
Oh, God.
Exploded everywhere. That's what happened. So, Mikel Arteta is his second in command.
Of course he is.
People are saying he's too slow to be a number two.
Yeah, he doesn't get up from the bench quick enough.
The stadium... naming rights, how long more do they last? Another 15 years?
Maybe. I'd say they would have come around for renewal by then.
Okay, so it's the Snapchat Stadium.
Snapchat Arena.
The Snapchat Arena.
Yeah.
Where they've managed to extend it to 80,000.
Have they just put another stadium on top of it, basically?
No, they haven't. They're going to do what we said we would do in the April Fool that we did on... Arsblog news that people still come back to and go, is this not happening yet?
Going, what did you say? Remind me.
Basically, we said that we're going to extend this the capacity of the stadium, but the way they were going to do it was to make each seat one third smaller so they could fit in more seats. So that's the only solution, because they can't build up and they can't build down.
Burrow into the ground. No.
Yeah. Arsenal are currently sitting 12th in the European Super League. After a bad start to the season.
Classic. Injuries, probably, I imagine.
Yeah. The season now runs from the start of June until December. Then there's a World Cup every year, single year, in Qatar or one of those places, in the desert, in the daytime, because they've added a touch of the whole, you know, the Running Man, Hunger Games kind of thing to the football experience.
I see.
The death of players on the pitch is now seen as part of the game.
I think that's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Who's still playing? Is anyone still playing from this modern era?
Bellerin.
Is he the captain?
He is the captain.
Hasn't he not gone to Barcelona, surely?
No, Barcelona, unfortunately... I don't want to be the bearer of bad tidings here, But Barcelona went to shit when I went to live there in 2022. It all went wrong for the city. I've had to move to a smaller town down the coast. I accept no responsibility for what happened. All I did was say that thing to that guy, and he took it wrong. And look, if people want to riot about that, there's not much I can do about it.
Fair enough.
So Barcelona as a city is laid waste. It's in ruins.
State of disrepair.
Yeah, no, it's like something out of The Walking Dead. Apart from there are no walking dead. It's just like, wow, it's like a volcano, like Pompeii.
I mean, one of the biggest surprises must be Joel Campbell breaking the all-time goal-scoring record.
Of Thierry Henry's, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who can say they didn't see that coming?
Well, in three seasons since his return from his 12th loan.
Yeah.
he's done remarkably well.
All those loan spells finally paid off.
I think, though, he's been helped by the fact that the goals have been made 8 feet wider and 6 feet higher.
For the sake of entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so that's been a bit of an advantage for him. His waywardness has now turned into precision shooting. Everything goes in the corner instead of four yards wide.
And does Silent Stan, is he still owning the business? What's going on there?
No. Arsenal is now owned by Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Inevitable that the empire will expand.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Robbie's in charge of everything.
And all the guys from Arsenal Fan TV, presumably they make up the board now.
No, Robbie killed them.
Right. As soon as he got to the top.
Yeah, I mean, that was his plan. It was just to use them to get to the top, and then it was like, execute them. On air,
yeah,
on Arsenal Fan TV. I thank you for your service, but it's time to move on. You're all Ned Starks to me. Off with your heads. And now nobody would fuck with Robbie after that. It's like,
imagine the hits you'd get for that.
This guy means business. Because beheadings are now completely normal on YouTube. You know?
Yeah, of course. 101 Great Goals would go mad for that shit, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would. They would.
Well, look, it sounds like an exciting time.
It really does. Really does. I'm looking forward to it, I have to say.
I hope someone's written that all down, and then obviously when it happens, you'll see that, you know, we are powerful people who can see into the future.
Yes, yes. Right, okay. Here's the final one, because we're running out of time, and this one comes from Rashid at Dishar86.
Okay.
And he wants to know, would you rather eat only butter for a month or stub your little toe on a table in the dark every night for a month?
I had a friend who ate butter, like, on its own.
Like, just would take a stick of butter and chomp it?
When we were at school, they used to have, like, little rolls. And they had those little things of butter, you know, like in, like, silver paper or whatever.
Pats.
It is. Yes, exactly. And he would just take a couple of those, tuck into them.
That is gross.
What's weird is he then went on to do a degree in catering. I think he works in a restaurant now.
Bob's Buttery Brasserie.
Yeah. It's quite a heavy butter theme.
All butter all the time. Butter burgers, butter chips.
Mm. I think, what was it, stub the toe? I think I'm going to have to eat the butter, aren't I? Toe stubbing is, I mean, it's up there with stepping on a plug, isn't it, in terms of agonising inexplicable pain.
It's infuriating, but it doesn't last that long. I mean, your toe over the course of a month would take a great deal of damage and would probably be a hideous bloody mess at the end of it. But it would recover. Whereas I think if you ate butter for a month, your ability to fuck a cow would be severely impaired.
That, for me, I mean, I must stress, that's not a problem. I don't want to have sex with a cow. I said earlier. Wait. That was it with very strict parameters.
Right.
If you're telling me that, I'll eat the butter just to get out of that.
Right. So if you ate the butter for a month, you wouldn't have to fuck a cow.
Deal.
All right.
Bring me the blur pack.
Come on. Somebody get that Kerrygold over here and we'll do that. All right. We're going to leave it there. Hopefully, by this time next week, some stuff will have happened. So
Have played matches.
Yeah.
Like, pretend matches.
Two matches. And that'll be good, because then we can talk a little bit about football and people will say, what the fucking point in doing a podcast if there's no football to talk about?
Yeah. I don't know.
What is the point?
To amuse ourselves, in a way.
Well, quite right. I've had a splendid hour in your company, James, as always.
Yeah, and you.
All right. Well, we'll catch you on the next one. Until then, folks, cheers.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.